This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. Over the next hour and a bit, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses and a top-of-mind topic relevant to trainers. We also talk about events to consider, books to read, a weekly top tip for online course creation, and of course it wouldn't be Trainer Talk, the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest. Every now and again, we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. You can contact us through our Facebook group. Just search for Trainer Talk the podcast, or feel free to email either Sharon or me. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome. This is Trainer Talk the podcast, and we're at episode number 80. 80. Goodness me, so soon. So the thing about the number 80, Sharon, is that it's a semi-perfect number. After our sexy prime last week, we have to, you know, go back to a semi-perfect number this week. Although it is also a menage number, which is not as saucy as it sounds. It's something to do with how many combinations of males and females sitting at a table you can have when they don't sit next to their partner, which I'm sure is a very interesting problem for somebody somewhere at some point, not during these times. The other thing about the number 80 is that it is, of course, part of the Pareto principle, which is a coincidence that I'm actually going to be using the Pareto principle in the session for the Future Fit course this week, but a complete coincidence on that one. And then the other thing about the number 80 is that it is apparently a common limit for characters per line in computing, all down to IBM, who were, of course, and still are, big players in the supercomputing world of things. But that's the number 80. We are off and running. How are you doing?
Running. How am I doing? Oh, well, it's been a funny old week, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that struck me today was, did you realise that this Monday last year, which was actually the 20th of May, mm-hmm. 19, so this equivalent Monday, was the very first of our Welsh podcast?
Wow!
Yes, that was, this time last year.
You're on holiday.
Airbnb down the road, on the holiday slash work for a week, and we did a Welsh podcast from that kitchen. Do you remember?
I remember from the kitchen, yes, with the stairs that Jem wasn't quite sure how to.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, how to deal with. But I do remember you seemed to be able to sort of turn around and literally the kettle was just behind you or something like that. That was nice and convenient for an avid tea drinker, wasn't it?
It was, yes. So, yes, that was a year ago. Wow.
Goodness me. Well, I know and we talk all the time about how things happen and change and you know, move forward and all the rest of it, but if we'd sort of shown a snippet then of what life was going to be like now, you're not living in the same place you thought you were going to be living in, you know, and everything else was, for all the difference it's made. Oh dearie me, wowie. A whole year ago, goodness.
A year ago, because it does feel like, I keep saying, I'm here but I'm not here. It's
yes.
It's the weirdest feeling.
It must be very odd, because it's you know, you're familiar with the place, but not in terms of living there, and you can't get familiar in terms of living there because you're not allowed anywhere. It's very odd. Very, very odd indeed.
Very odd, of course, you know, as I keep saying, when I was kept observing pictures of crazed and jubilant picnickers on beaches in England.
Don't even.
We can't do that here, so.
I know, but as I was saying to you before we started recording, I suspect that Wales is going to be better off imminently, I think, is probably the case, just from the point of view of everything else that's going on. But we don't need to get sucked into that. Tell me about your week.
Yeah, well, this week, other than that, it was a couple. It's okay, good. But I did have, as I said to you when we did our little preamble before we started recording, I did have a couple of little. I wouldn't call them down days; just call them down moments.
Yeah,
because we all thoughts come and go. But But just a couple of kind of, oh, God, dear. Oh, when am I going to be able to see my children again? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Feels like things are not really sort of progressing and, oh, and all that. But, it, yeah, hey, they come and go. And
yeah. So, you know,
we pick ourselves up and we move on.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. And, you know, there will come a time, we have to focus, don't we, on the fact that there will come a time when we look back on how horrible it's been having to wait to be able to do the things that we really want to do, which, let's face it, have got nothing to do with shopping and everything to do with family. And, you know, and waiting for the moment when that can happen. And then, you know, seeing how long it will take with that moment of being able to come back to together with family that isn't in the same household. How long will it take before the first argument? Before the first the first sign of annoyance that we've all
had at the moment.
We've all conveniently forgotten how other members of the family who don't live with us can be really annoying sometimes.
Oh, I'm not seeing Ryan till Christmas.
Oh, sure. Goodness.
Not
yeah.
Even it's more than half a year away.
Mm.
Just but you know, hey ho.
Indeed.
Well, indeed. So in other news, week three of our Future Fit programme.
Mm-hmm. Halfway.
Money and charging on my side. And when I did my webinar on the Wednesday, I was a little bit nervous about doing it because we've got an expert in our midst, have we not? Hewitt, a.k.a. Money Man. And yeah, so what can I tell him about money that that he doesn't already know? So that was a little bit scary, but I got through it somehow.
You did. You pushed through the nerve barrier. Listen, I mean, yeah, Alex is somebody that knows an awful lot about calculating these things and working it all out and all the rest of it. But also, you've been running this program for goodness knows how long in various guises, various forms, and talking about this stuff from your own lived experience of doing it as well. So whilst he is absolutely a deep dive expert in the subject matter, I don't think that negates any of your valid experience and knowledge and understanding around it either. And people seem to get an awful lot out of it. I mean, again, we say this every week, or have said this every week, so many light bulb moments for people, which is fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, which was fabulous. Although we didn't get the opportunity to talk about our light bulb moments this week. Well, not as yet, because we have a weekly catch-up on a Sunday afternoon for everybody on the programme at 4 o'clock to talk about said aha and light bulb moments. And it was a little bit, it didn't happen yesterday, courtesy of Zoom, because there was a Zoom outage, let us say, which wasn't only relevant to us, it was relevant to in the world. So I didn't realize this until we actually went on, tried to get on Zoom, and what happened, I went on to Zoom and then was merrily trying to admit people into the waiting room, and nobody was coming in because I was pressing and nothing was happening. So of course I thought, oh, okay, all right, there must be some problem. So I messaged you, and then we were like trying to sort it out, my messages would go bing, 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 and I was like, hang on a minute, don't panic.
That's funny.
How can we just not panic?
I know. And, you know, within the space of a couple of minutes as well, it's just like, okay, clearly there's an issue. We'd already been sort of had a bit of a flag because I think it was, what, 10, 15 minutes beforehand, or maybe a little bit longer than that. Angela had said that there were some Zoom problems. And it turned out, as you say, it was a global and intermittent sort of random outage that was affecting more people than not, although some people were able to get on and you know, it affected us. But you would think that it was like a final exam they were missing or something, rather than just a halfway catch up to see how you're getting on and any questions you've got, because everybody was I love the fact that they care so much, but at the same time, you know, perspective, people.
I know, and it was like, okay, well, if I can just stop replying to your messages, people, then I can just get my head around what's happening.
And the trouble is, when people are in that mindset, if you try and ignore their message because you're trying to sort it out, then they go, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? No, stop.
They were posting the Facebook group, and then they were sending me private messages as well. So I was like, and then I had like an email. I'm like, oh my God. Like, calm down, oh, people. Dear.
So yeah, so the upshot of that, I think somebody was saying that Zoom was actually working within half an hour of us having to abandon the call. But it was by that time we'd already taken the decision, hadn't we? Let's just run it tomorrow. We'll wait 24, as it turns out, 25 hours, and try again. Yeah. So even though, I mean, you know, doing it today at 5 o'clock is highly inconvenient for both of us, because normally Mondays are pretty rubbish days in terms of everything that we're trying to cram in. But at the same time, it's like, well, we want to do it, obviously. Yeah. There is the argument about getting the hour back yesterday, but not really, because, you know, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour of it was, are we not gonna
so I just found the whole thing very funny in terms of like human behavior.
completely
lovely, but very funny as well.
So
that was that happened on the Future Fit program. What else have I been doing? I was interviewed on a podcast last Monday evening, uh-huh, for the It's a Tribe Thing podcast, which remember that I said to you that I was supposed to be interviewed ages ago.
Yes.
And then I went into the room and like nobody was there, and they sent me the room and everything. Well, we finally managed it again.
Well done.
So that was quite nice. So did that. What else? A virtual coffee on Tuesday with a few people on my subscriber list. That was really nice. And the virtual coffees are literally just that. There's no agenda. We just talk about whatever stuff. It was sort of nice to put faces to names. So that was good. This week I've been starting to look at, I hate that word. I'm not going to use the word funnel. I'm going to use the word customer journey.
Okay.
That is something that, to be quite honest, has been one of those areas of my business that has been a little bit neglected, I think. Mm-hmm. So largely one of those things that, oh yeah, I'll improve that, you know, when I get time to do it. But in the meantime, things are working okay, so I'll just leave it. But it struck me now that obviously since the move to Infusionsoft, now one of the reasons for moving over was the fact that it can do a lot more.
Yeah.
And it kind of struck me that, well, there's no point in having this system if you're not doing a lot more.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. This is
the next phase of it. So I had a meeting with Sarah on Thursday, and that was great because we were kind of brainstorming all different ideas that we could do to sort of, you know, beef up the customer journey. So that was nice. So that was all very exciting. So another little new project to get my teeth into. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday was another Zoom-a-thon. Oh my God.
Yeah. You really were in the thick of it on Friday, weren't you? Goodness me.
So it was like Zoom-a-thon, 10 o'clock to 5:30 on my mastermind day, 5:30 to 6:45 for wine o'clock, my trainer talk members,
mm-hmm,
and then 7 o'clock to 11:30 for my friends Amy, mm-hmm, on the Friday night you know, virtual pub eat meal, we all eat together and all the rest of it. I got to about 11 o'clock, I said to Amy, I'm so sorry, I just need to get off this. Like, I'm just my brain dead by that stage.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, there comes a point, doesn't there, where you can't even string a sentence together anymore because your brain is just, nope, I've had enough, that's it, I'm closing down, you're on your own.
Absolutely. So that was nice. Interesting on Friday. Facebook Lives, I have been doing a daily Facebook Live on my Facebook page. Again, something I thought came into the should category. I really should be doing this. I really should be doing more on my Facebook page. So decided that I would do this, but I decided I would make it. Remember last week we were talking about faff-free?
Yes, I do indeed, absolutely.
Right, so do it when somebody says, how about doing a daily Facebook Live for your page? You go, yeah, okay. But then you think, oh, right, okay. I've got to get, like, is the lighting okay? Is my hair okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? Oh, not going to do it. Too much faff. So the easiest way for me to do it is to do it when I'm out on the dog walk, because it is purely not faff-free. You know, you're out there, just basically get your phone and just stop talking. So I just thought, if I am going to incorporate this into my daily business, which I need to do to make it regular and consistent, it's got to be something that I can do. It's got to be at the same time, make it faff-free, fits in with the rest of the stuff that I'm doing in my day. So yeah, so seems to be working so far. I think I've done three. And I asked, because I was asking for names, wasn't I, on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh, should I give this, you know, should I give this Facebook Live a name? And I thought, oh, well, I'm out on the dog walk, so it could be Dog Walking Digest. Then you chipped in and said, oh, that was already been taken.
Absolutely, it is. Steady on, missus.
So somebody, Louise O'Driscoll, I think, she gave me a name. She came into the Facebook group, didn't she? And
mm-hmm.
gave me a name. So keep talking and I will find it.
Was it something like, was it the one that was Walk and Talk and Thoughts or something? Or Talk and Walk
that
and
was
Thoughts?
Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Louise O'Driscoll, mm-hmm. okay. She said, just watch your live from early today and thought I'd throw in my thoughts on the name you could use. Your live should be called Walk, Talk and Thoughts.
Lovely.
It was lovely. Not only was it a lovely post, not only was it lovely that she'd bothered to actually think of the name and post in the group, but she'd actually put, I don't know if you saw it, it was in the Trainer Talk colours.
Really? Oh, yes, I did see that.
Green.
Yes, purple and green.
That was really clever.
How thoughtful.
I know. That was great. So there we go. We've got a new name. Daily Facebook Live people. On my Facebook page, the Trainers Training Company. If you haven't liked it, go and do so immediately. And then you can tune in to Walk, Talk and Thoughts every day.
Mm-hmm.
Around half one-ish.
Yeah, there or thereabouts.
Depending on how many people are heading in my direction.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. That was funny, the one the other day where you were having to change direction. It was like you were playing Pac-Man or something. You were trying to avoid the ghosts.
Well, as soon as I get my phone out, they all start coming towards me. Like, no, go away, people.
Oh, I love that. Ah, well. Cool. Okie dokie. Yeah. So, you've got a new name for that. Anything else last week?
Anything else? Spending week two of Michael Neal's course, A Whole New Way of Thinking About Success, which is obviously what I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it again. And I will talk about that because that relates to top of mind.
Groovy. All right. So my week last week, well, there were an awful lot of VLTs going on last week for our Future Fit program attendees. So we've been asking them to do practice runs and recording of their virtual live training as part of the program, just so that we can get them A, in the habit of being on camera and doing these things and having the practice of running it. And I think everybody that had any kind of either practice run, whether they've done this before, and most of them haven't, or whether they were recording it, there were so many learnings that people were getting either from doing it themselves or from sitting in as sort of guinea pigs for some of the other ones as well, which was brilliant. But they were sort of popping up all over the place, and then people trying to rearrange and not record at the same time as other people and that kind of thing. So I tried to attend as many of those as I possibly could, but of course had to fit it in around everything else that was going on. A few meetings. I did have a chiropractic appointment last week, so they've been allowed to open up again. I think it's obviously they're wearing masks and all the rest of it and what have you. But the interesting thing with that one is they like you to arrive 5 minutes early, so you've got time to get into the room and get changed into your gown so the appointment can start on time, because they do appointments at 15-minute intervals, which is absolutely fine, apart from the fact that nobody told anybody that the council were digging up the road. So the road was closed and there was no notice to say how far along it was closed. So how do I get round and how do I get to you? So I ended up actually being 5 minutes late for my appointment, but I've been going there for so long they kind of forgive me that anyway. But it was just like, I'm sorry, but what can I do? I had to phone them in the end and say, how do I get to you? Because I can't, there's nowhere for me to leave the car to walk to you. There, I just, you know, what do I do? So I had to sort of go the long way round. And do all of that, but anyway, so it's it's not good to arrive for your appointment really stressed, because it's like, you know, I've got sort of various bones that need to be sort of cracked back into place as it is without having my shoulders up around my ears from being stressed about it. But so that was fine. It all got done and all the rest of it. Had a couple of meetings with people about some potential future projects. So that's very exciting. So we'll wait and see whether or not those come off. And also last week, again, just doing lots of work still around getting things ready for the switchover on the Trainer Talk website between the old membership and the new membership, and trying to get that to work, and getting various computer programs to talk to each other is always fun, particularly when one of them's lost their translation guide. But that's fine, we get there. And then it all ended with wine o'clock. But on Friday, of course. But what I did do was took Saturday off again, which was lovely. And I don't know why, I just seem to, when I say, right, I'm going to have the day off, I deliberately don't come into the office. But I do, obviously, because, you know, at the time, although we could go out and sit outside and all the rest of it, Scamp doesn't like that. He gets bored if we're not walking or moving or anything like that. So it's not going to happen. So I'm sitting inside. And if I'm sitting on the sofa during the day, he likes to sit on top of me. So he likes to be on my lap. And he goes to sleep. And so I'm sort of sitting there going, well, you know, I could watch a bit of telly, or I could look on my laptop but not work stuff, and you know, look at YouTube, that kind of thing. And I just get so tired from just sitting there and just, you know, seeing how the mood takes me. And, you know, I'd done the washing up and put the washing on. Yeah, there was nothing to do other than a few bits and pieces that I wanted to do. But all I wanted to do was just sit there and just doze. But I don't feel like that on any other day of the week. So it must be me giving my body permission to go, yeah, you can relax today, it's okay. And just letting all the tiredness out. So it's fine, it's not a problem. But I secretly quite liked waking up on Sunday thinking, yes, okay, I've got structure to my day again now. Good, that's all right. Yeah. So weird how that happens. But I am also thinking, do you know what, I want to get to the point again when I can have both weekend days off, or choose to take both weekend days off, just from the point of view of, I think I need one day just to go and just kind of, you know, veg or whatever, and then the second day to actually do stuff that isn't work related. Because I was sort of thinking, oh, I could declutter the kitchen. Or I could finally get to sort of, you know, I had a damp patch on the ceiling in the lounge, which isn't leaking or anything, but it still needs, you know, spraying and sorting out. And it's like, yeah, I could do that. Oh, I'll just snooze for a bit. So I need the second day to actually have the energy to do the stuff that I think about on the first day. But yeah, at some point that will happen. I'm kind of half contemplating putting August aside for sort of decorating and that kind of stuff, because, you know, we'll be sort of, well, who knows what situation we'll be in. I'm not even going to speculate, not going to speculate on that one. So, you know, that's kind of half a plan in place, so to speak. And then yesterday, of course, again, just sort of doing a few bits and pieces and sorting things out for people in preparation for the 4 o'clock meeting that wasn't. trying to sort out a few other bits and pieces as well. And then here we are again on Monday, again.
I know, here we are again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Groundhog Day.
So let's move on to our top of mind then, shall we?
Yeah, let's move on to that. But before we do that, just very quickly, just to say about what struck me when you were talking about the car.
Yeah.
So I keep looking at my car thinking, God, I think I'm going to have to take another driving test.
You've forgotten.
Literally, I told you I'm not doing it since the 6th of March.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. I mean, from my point of view, I need it to go to the supermarket to get my shopping and what have you. But I haven't driven it outside of that. So I think I said last week, the last time I filled it up was skiing, around the time of skiing. So that was the third week in March. And I'm still at more than half a tank, which is just ridiculous. You know, I didn't actually buy any petrol at all in the month of April. And at the moment, it's looking like I won't be buying any in the month of May either. Very odd. Very odd indeed.
Oh, anyway, so.
Top of mind. Come on then.
Mind. Let's talk about fear in business.
Mm-hmm.
This is prompted by the work I've been doing this week on Michael Neal's course.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about, we've been talking about fear in business, largely related to the fact it starts off from the premise that fear is just something that we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
One of the phrases that was mentioned was the fact that, all of us could probably have a PhD in scaring ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I thought was absolutely brilliant.
Insightful, yes.
Insightful, because when it all boils down to it, we can choose to let this whole coronavirus thing scare us or not.
Yeah,
it is entirely in our gift, to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was that. That was really interesting. And the other thing that really struck me was there was a lot of talk about business. For a lot of people, business is linked to survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are not as successful in business as they could potentially be.
Okay, talk to me more about that. So
because it's constantly talking. It's the language that people use. So if I can just hold on, if I can just kind of get through, being in scarcity mode, kind of being worried about money and money running out and all those sorts of things, and this fear that kind of gets in the way. So it might show up in the language that we use. It might show up in the decisions that we take. Because decisions, based on around fear and how much this is scaring us, it might show up around the effort that we put into things.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your thoughts around that? Because this is something, is this something that we, when we were discussing that, I just thought, oh my God, yeah, this is actually something that you see a lot. And we were discussing, okay, so what if fear were not a factor?
Mm.
Fear wasn't a factor in your business. How what then? How would that affect you? How would that enable you to show up differently?
Yeah.
How would that enable you to take different decisions?
Completely. I mean, I think there is so much that we could go into around this. But I think, to pick up on that last point that you made there about what if fear wasn't a factor, there's a reason that the book you're right.
Yeah.
there's a fit. There's a reason that the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway was so popular and such a bestseller, because clearly we are talking about a different type of fear than if you're sort of standing at the edge of a cliff and worried about falling off or whatever that might be. Totally different thing. What we're talking about is, oh, hello, nice loud car in the background, or nice loud exhaust. What we're talking about is, for want of a better phrase, manufactured fear. So this is our thoughts putting us into the position of being fearful about something. And there is a lot to be said for us. When we have a particular set of beliefs or a particular focus on what we're thinking, we tend to look for evidence to support that rather than actively looking for counter evidence to prove us wrong, which it's a natural thing, but we all do it, which is why it's the same phenomenon if we decide to buy a new car and we've picked a particular color and then all of a sudden we see loads of cars on the road that are that color. Obviously not at the moment, well maybe at the moment in England at the weekend with all the people coming down to the beach that shouldn't be. Anyway, let's not get sidetracked on that one. But it is that phenomenon of, when you are looking at something, it's a little bit, and again, let's not get sidetracked by Facebook advertising and who's listening to what you're saying in your conversations and all the rest of it. But when you have been talking about something and then you see an advert for it or somebody else talks about it, as humans, we are hardwired to find patterns in things. So we look for patterns even when there is none, when it's just a coincidence. And there are some people that would say there is no coincidence. There's only stuff that that you have attracted to yourself. It's where the whole law of attraction stuff comes from. And yeah, I think there, to a certain extent, there's something in that. But also, we are very, very good at noticing what we need to notice. So, for example, there's that famous video where you're asked to concentrate. There's two teams of people on a video, one in one colour and one in another colour, and they're playing some kind of game. And you're asked to count the number of people, let's say, in white T-shirts or whatever it is. And then you're asked a question at the end of it saying, what did you think of the gorilla in the middle? And your first instinct is go, what do you mean gorilla? There was no gorilla in there, don't be ridiculous. And you are shown the video again, and sure enough, there's a person in a gorilla suit walking into the middle and waving at you. And you won't have seen it because you're so busy concentrating on what you're trying to look for. And that's kind of where fear comes from, is that we are so busy trying to find the stuff to prove ourselves right about the fear that we've got, that we end up compounding it and making it even worse. And it's a difficult cycle to break out of. It's difficult to recognise, because if anybody says, well, you're wrong, or we perceive them to be telling us we're wrong, what we actually do, instead of going, oh, am I? Let me see if you're correct. We become entrenched, more entrenched in our views, and trying to defend ourselves from not being wrong, which makes it even more difficult to look for counter evidence that disproves what we're feeling in the first place. But I mean, this is all sort of, you know, human psychology stuff, which I find absolutely fascinating anyway. So yeah, I mean, one of the things that I did want to bring up actually was there's that acronym, isn't there, for fear, which is false evidence appearing real, which I think whoever came up with that, well done. We would credit you if we knew who you were. But I think that is never a true word was spoken on that. What do you think?
Well, it's true. And it's just, you know, I just thinking about that question again, you know, it's sort of stuck in my mind all weekend, really. You know, what if fear were not a factor in your business? Mm. What would you do? What would you do differently if fear were not a factor in your business?
Yeah.
What would you do differently? Well, goodness me. it allows you to spend more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're not worried about it running out, or you're not worried about, you know, the consequences of your decisions. It would enable you to take more decisions, you know. So for example, you might have an idea about your business, or somebody might suggest a business idea to you. And deep inside yourself, the first thing that you think about is, God, that's a great idea. If I did that, it would be really good for my business. Mm-hmm. It would be really major step forward for my business. What a great idea that is. But then if you're scared, then something else pops up, doesn't it? Oh, I can't do that. Oh, it costs too much money. What if it doesn't work out? What if it's a complete failure? What if it's a disaster? Da, 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 da. And then before you know it, that's taken over and you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're scared of spending money, or you're scared of it not working or whatever. If fear wasn't a factor, you could act. You could take action on every single idea that deep inside yourself you actually know would be worth mm-hmm. a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, completely.
What difference would that make?
I do think, I mean, it's that there's an irony in there somewhere, isn't there? That people who run their own business have clearly done it for a reason. And I don't think anybody ends up running their own business without having some kind of, not worries, but sort of bits that they think, I'm not sure how I'm going to do that bit. I mean, I'm a classic case in point, insofar as for years I didn't think I would have the self-discipline to run my own business. I also thought that I wouldn't like or be able to cope with the insecurity around earning money. You know, I liked the security of having a paycheck going into my bank at the end of the month, and knowing that you know, I would always get paid, that kind of thing. Although everybody's thoughts around that thrown into some confusion at the moment, I suspect. However, you know, then I had mindset change. I'd done coaching, I'd done my NLP studies, all this kind of thing. And I'd managed to get myself into a position of actually I'd quite like to try this. And now it's a question of, yes, you know, sometimes there are things that I would like to do that I can't do, in inverted commas, or I choose not to do, is probably a better way of putting it, because I'm a bit concerned about, okay, if I do that, then I, you know, don't have the money to pay myself at the end of the month or whatever it might be. So, you know, I mean, I'm in a similar situation at the moment where, yes, there is money in the bank, but I could choose to go and spend it on something, but then I wouldn't have stuff set aside from a corporation tax in October, which will come around more quickly than we think. And it's things like that where you think, okay, you know, I get when people are concerned about putting themselves out there, about doing things, about investing in their business with no guarantee of return. But if you are that worried about it, then you kind of shouldn't be running your own business in the first place, because you're never going to have any guarantees with running your own business, are you? I mean, there's no guarantee that any of it is going to work. There's no guarantee that we won't get another corona type virus at some point in the future.
Not. No, absolutely not. But it really is interesting how that, I find that whole thing just, you know, knowing what we know, that fear is just something that doesn't exist. Well, one type of fear, clearly, is, you know, stuff that, you know, Michael Neal always and other people always describe it as being like chased by a tiger.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of fear does exist, but we're not chased by tigers these days, you know, but that equivalent.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is just something that we do to ourselves. So if we know that and we take that on board, how incredibly liberating to just go, I could just choose the fear not to be a factor in my business. How amazing is that?
Completely.
It's so liberating, isn't it?
Oh, completely. And again, I think it's related to something that we've discussed before, which is sort of this idea that you're going to fail more than you succeed in business. Well, yeah, kind of, if you look upon things that don't work as failures, but I don't. You know, things that don't work are things that don't work. Okay, so let's try something and find something else that does work. But you've got to do something. You have to take action in order to work out if something's going to work or not. And I think the thing that will stifle most businesses and the thing that will compound fear is inaction. It's being sort of paralysed in one place for fear of doing the wrong thing, and you end up doing nothing and therefore never find out what the right thing is, or fear of taking the next step. I mean, sometimes you have fear of success as well, which until I came across it was a really odd one, and, you know, felt it myself, which was, oh, crikey, if this works, actually, am I going to have any time to myself? You know, all of that kind of stuff. And sort of, you know, worrying about what the next step is going to look like. And of course, that then creates these false barriers, doesn't it?
Oh, interestingly, because Stu McLaren talks about that a lot, about fear of success. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the fact that he comes from a family where his parents are very, you know, it's a blue collar family. You know, they're rich. His parents worked extremely hard. They emigrated to Canada from the UK when he was young. Both his parents had two jobs. You know, both worked in schools, sort of supporting special needs children and students. And he got to the age of 25. He started his business, and he realised he was earning more than his parents, and in his words, he said, I wasn't even working that hard for it. So he said he deliberately would sabotage himself, so every time he got to a certain income level, which for him he said was about 400,000, he would deliberately start sabotaging himself. So he would not call people, he would not follow up, he wouldn't do this thing, and it's all related to this, to feeling guilty about that success, you know, fear of success. And it was only when he went to over to Kenya, because him and his wife were, obviously, they've got this charity over in Kenya where they build schools. And it was only when he got talking to one of the teachers there, and he said to him, well, how much is your salary, basically? Mm. How much would we need to pay you for you to be able to teach full time? And he said something like, so a ridiculously low figure, like £100 a day or whatever it was. But it basically really struck him then, and he just thought, my goodness, he said, that's my way of helping these people. And now the more money that I make, the more impact that I can have.
Mm-hmm.
That suddenly became his reason for making money.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And that everything shifted for him then, because now all of a sudden it's like, well, don't feel guilty about that, because I've got a reason now, because the more money I make, the more impact I can have. And he was like, I love making money now, because it enables, it's not the money in itself, it's what the money makes possible.
Yes, absolutely.
So it was about being claiming for him. So that fear then was sort of completely taken away.
Mm.
But again, it's like putting a different spin on it, you know. So what if this money enables me to make, you know, all these wonderful things possible? How different would I feel about it then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if fear were not an issue in my business? You know, what could I achieve then if I wasn't scared?
Yeah.
So all these things, it's amazing. It just all comes down to mindset. The more I learn, the more I discover, the more I'm convinced about having a inverted commas, successful business, whatever success means to you, is not about how much you know about business. It's about what's going on up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely. And I think the more you understand what's going on in your own head, the more it helps you then to understand what's going on inside the head of your potential customers, your target audience, and therefore to be able to produce things that are going to be useful for them. And we've talked a lot about that, and it's funny, I saw a post over the weekend from somebody singing the praises of a contact of mine who is, funnily enough, on Stu McLaren's course, and saying, oh my goodness, everything he's taught us in module one, you taught me, we've done all of this stuff, I'm just thinking you're amazing, blah blah blah. And I'm looking at the stuff they're talking about thinking, yeah, but she didn't invent it. Yeah, I know for sure she didn't invent it. She got it off of somebody else, who got it off of somebody else, who got it off of somebody else. It's all ideas in business are built on other ideas that other people have had. You know, there's nothing truly new out there. It's just a way of reimagining, you know, same principles. Marketing principles have not changed since they were first sort of, you know, written down. It's just people put a different spin on it. That's a whole entire other podcast, I guess, talking about that side of things. But I think one of the things we do is we tend to hang on to the first time we've learnt something, and we either attach it to a person and go, well, they taught me that way, therefore that's right, and everything else that's different to that is wrong. Or we tend to sort of take that and that circumstance and that moment as our blueprint for everything moving forward, which I think is where a lot of fear also comes from, is that because we were in a situation where something happened previously, we tend to transplant that experience into what's going on now, and assuming that what is going to happen now, the outcome we're going to get now, is directly influenced by what happened way back when. It's where phobias come from, for goodness sake. You know, it's all of these different things. This fear is completely, as you say, inside our heads, and it is, as I said, manufactured. Because we think, we think our ways into ourselves into it, which I think it's just fascinating. That, now, that's not to say, and I'm sure you'd admit as well, that's not to say I don't have any fear of anything. But I think the difference is that I know what it is when it's happening, and therefore I know that I can choose to do something about it.
Go back to, you know, is we can either choose to do this to ourselves, or we can choose not to.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that to yourself?
Yeah.
When you think about it, why would anybody want to do that to themselves?
Because it might not work, Sharon.
And this whole fear thing, this is what we've been talking about all week. The only person who can scare you is yourself.
Completely.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Why would you want to spend, you know, perfectly good energy on something as kind of, you know, like that. Anyway, we talk about this all day because I just find that it's fascinating, but we will invite you to consider that question for the rest of the week, and tell us what you think. What if fear were not a factor
in
business?
Definitely. Definitely. I think you're right. We could go on about this forever. So let's not bore people any longer.
That's fantastic.
That's really good. It's one of those where I feel like I need to sort of print it on a piece of paper and put it, plaster it above my computer, just below the one that says take action with intention. You know, what if fear were not a factor? It's great.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly one that I'm going to be having pinned up. Well, pinned up in my brain somewhere.
Absolutely.
Really big impact on
perhaps
that.
Perhaps we can get the lovely Emma Williams to do something in Canva, seeing as she's a Canva whiz.
Canva queen. What a queen of the factor people.
Love it. Oh, alrighty. Dog Walking Digest, what you got?
Dog Walking Digest. Well, closely linked to, you know, what if fear were not a factor. Yes. I have, as I said earlier on in my week thing, have been doing my Facebook Lives, you know, daily. Little challenge set to myself. You know, one of these things, let's see if I can do one every day. And let's see if they were not a factor. Let's just see. Let's go with the flow. See what happens.
Yes.
Hilarious. I think the first one that I did on, I think it was Wednesday last week, I think people enjoyed it for the pure comedy factor. Because I didn't have my glasses on. I did have my sunglasses on, but my sunglasses are just, I can't see with that. I can see distance, but I can't see, I can't see my phone with my sunglasses on. So that was hilarious because I was walking like, oh, I'll do a Facebook Live. Then I get the phone and I'm like, okay, right. Oh, right. How do I get into my page now? Let's just see.
Holding it at arm's length. Yeah.
It took me ages to actually get into the page. And then I sort of set off doing it. And then, you know, usual thing, a dog came the other way and I had to speedily try and get Jen on the lead while talking vaguely coherently on my Facebook page. And then there's the whole social distancing thing. Of, oh, God, they're coming towards me. I've got to get out of the way. And
hilarious. I love it.
I think it's quite funny. So I think it scored points for the comedy factor.
Definitely.
That's how people watched.
Yeah, well, people like to be entertained. That's fine. Happy to help.
indeed. And as I said, you know, I'm just doing it because it's kind of easier because it's fat free.
Yeah.
You know, I can do dog walk, just talk for 2 or 3 minutes, job done.
Mm-hmm.
I've got something to add. If there's something valuable that somebody can learn from, all the better. But that's
exactly.
It. I'm not going to let it all get in the way about how I look and,
You
know, and all that sort of stuff and the lighting and the this and the that.
Uh-huh.
So that's that. So entertainment on the Dog Walking Digest this week, for sure.
Like it.
You.
I mean, we've sort of been enjoying slightly longer walks as the rules have changed a little bit over here in England, and so we are allowed out as many times for different forms of exercise as we want per day, etc., etc. I have to say, though, even though I used to do 3 dog walks a day with Scamp, going down to 2, he sort of fell into that routine fairly easily, and it actually has made a bit of difference for me in terms of the being able to sort of plow on through with work.
Yeah.
That said, I have fallen out of the habit of doing a longer walk first thing in the morning, which is what I used to do, is a longer walk first thing, then a very short one at lunchtime, and then a longer one in the evenings. The short one at lunchtime, I mean, I can be there and back in 20 minutes. It's not a massive thing out of my day. So I think while the weather's nice, I should try to get back into that. Not going to happen today, I have to say. Put my hands up for that one immediately, because actually, it's not too bad here. No, we're all right. Bit of a breeze, but it's okay. It's very sunny and lovely. But it's more from the point of view of the number of back-to-back meetings that I've got going on this afternoon, which is just ridiculous. I should try and get into a new set of habits. Up until this point, I've kind of allowed myself to drift with, you know, what's going on, what's happened, and oh well, I can't do that because kind of thing, which is a convenient excuse. Now I need to sort of form new habits or pick up old ones or whatever it might be. All of that to one side, we have enjoyed some very nice walks, and you know, seen a few people in passing, and had socially distant conversations and all that kind of stuff. I still can't quite believe this actually happened. So I'm still processing it in my head. Where I live, the way to get to the park, we have to walk down a one-way street. Now, it's fine because there are pavements either side. It's residential. It's just that we are walking against the traffic, so to speak. Fine, no problem. What we do have is a little bit of a problem with cyclists in terms of, instead of going one block over to actually cycle the right way down, what they will tend to do is cycle the wrong way down the pavements, and woe betide any pedestrian that gets in the way. Sometimes, not often, sometimes I've met a cyclist coming the right way up the street but still on the pavement, and I refuse to get out of their way because there's a perfectly good road there and they should be cycling on the road, not on the pavement. I kind of, even though I don't agree with, I kind of understand the cyclists that are going the wrong way down the one-way street, but again, I'm not going to move for them. If they want to stay on their cycles, they have to get on the road and they have to take their chances going against the traffic. It's not massively busy, so it is possible to do, and by and large it all works fine. Ha-ha! There's the setup for you. So, I'm walking down the pavement against the flow of the traffic on the one-way street, and there's this young woman, late teens, early 20s maybe, cycling towards me on the pavement. She's got ear pods in. And so I'm sort of standing there, and she sees that we're walking down. So instead of going onto the road, she stops on the pavement and makes as if to sort of move to one side so that we can pass her. And I'm like, no. Because the only way I can pass you, being 2 metres away from you, is by me, the pedestrian, stepping into the road in the face of oncoming traffic. I am not doing that. So I looked at her and I said, pavements of pedestrians, my lovely. There's a road there. At which point she takes her ear pods out and I said, there's a road there. Don't speak to me like that. I'm a key worker. Pardon me, what? What? At what point does being a key worker mean that you are allowed to cycle on the pavement and ask pedestrians to stand in the road to be out of your way? It doesn't work like that. Now, of course, I didn't say any of this to her because this is all the stuff that I'm thinking about afterwards. I'm just looking at her thinking, you cannot possibly think that that's an okay excuse. A, I'm now doubting whether you are actually a key worker at all. And B, well, look at the entitlement upon you. Yeah. So I just stood there. I wouldn't move. And I just stood there and said, there's a road there. There's a road there. There's a road there. At which point she actually cycles onto the road and mutters something about, me, 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 you should go home or something like that. It's like, okay, if it came down to it, my love, I'm the one that's in the right here. You know, you can clearly see I'm walking my dog. I'm a pedestrian on the pavement. I have every right to be here. You do not. But it was just one of those things where it's like, I can't believe that. I'm a key worker.
Well,
don't speak to me like that. Speak to you like what? I was perfectly polite. I had a smile on my face.
Contrast that with the attitude of my lovely daughter.
Uh-huh.
She's also a key worker and won't even collect her 50% off her groceries.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel entitled, you know?
I know. I do have serious doubts as to whether this young lady was actually a key worker at all. But even if she was, it was just like, no. And there was no way that I was moving. But it was just kind of...
NHS lanyard on. They're supposed to have a lanyard, don't you know?
Yeah, I suspect when she says key worker, it wasn't actually NHS key worker. But even so, it's like, no. And as I say, that you sort of run through the scenario in your head afterwards and think of all the things you would like to say. it was just, nah, I don't think so. There's a road there.
Oh, dear. It all goes on, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. But it was just so totally ridiculous. It's like, what? I don't know. I can't compute that one. It's so crazy. So, yeah, so that was kind of the only real story, I think. We've got, no. Golfers are back on the golf course now.
Oh, God.
Yes. So it didn't take long, right? So they're allowed back from, what was it, Wednesday last week that Boris said golf was allowed as long as there's only two of you and you're 2 metres distant. Well, yeah, tell that to some of the people going around. But it didn't take long for the first argument between dog owner and golfer to break out.
But you've missed it, eh?
honestly. It was one of those things where we're just wandering along with Scamp and it was a lovely sunny day and all the rest of it. And I hear raised voices and like, that's not going to be good. So you sort of wander over to not close, but enough to know what's going on. And it's one of the regular dog owners that goes over there. And, you know, all the regulars know him. He's got a couple of chow-chows. And he has no control over these dogs, right? I mean, they just go off and do whatever they like. And he'll be standing there going, come on, come on, and whistling for them. And they are completely ignoring him. Neither of them are particularly quick, so it's not like they're going to run off. But they just wander over to wherever they like, which includes over the golfing greens and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, he was in this absolute stand-up, blazing row with a couple of golfers and yelling, we've got public right of way, like this. And I'm thinking, no, we don't. And he was, and the golfers were saying, no, you need to look at the bylaws, and shouting back at me. I mean, it was a real sort of testosterone-fueled argument. It was kind of, yep, okay. I couldn't go anywhere near it anyway because Scamp really doesn't like the chows. He absolutely goes for them. Doesn't like anything very big and fluffy like that. So I couldn't go anywhere near them. But I'm thinking, no, you're wrong, mate. You're wrong. We don't have right of way. We have right of access. We can walk wherever we like over the park, but we don't have the right of way. And it's a clear difference. So it's like, no, I'm not getting involved in that one. So they were still going on.
State place, you know.
Say that again.
I always thought Bournemouth was quite a sedate place. Oh, yeah.
Full of retired people. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not on your Nelly, honestly. It's, I mean, you know, the most of the time, the people playing golf during the week are retired gentlemen, shall we say, although some of them not so much the gentle. At the same time, you know, most of the time things just happen. You know, people go around doing what they need to do and you know, no one's fussed, no one's bothered, all the rest of it. But just very occasionally you get a little flare up like that and it's like, oh, mate, if only you hadn't been in the wrong, but I'm afraid you are. So I'm sure at some point it'll come up in conversation, but...
Anyway.
These things happen. So that's Dog Walking Digest.
Yes.
Events to consider. So we're still where we were, but just a little bit closer to it, aren't we?
Yeah, well, Trainers Talk Live, oh, I might have to just get you to put a for sale sign. No, sorry, sold out sign.
Oh, really?
Yes, so it's quite alarming and the numbers are creeping up now. So I'm thinking, there's one part of me that thinks, oh, it doesn't matter, it's a virtual event, the more the merrier. The other part thinking, oh, not sure about this.
What sort of numbers have we got to at the moment?
Oh, I've just been putting them in a folder as the bookings come in. I've been like, oh, okay, pop that, you know. Then yeah. Popped in there the other day and I thought, is that really? Have we really got 72?
No! We can't take that. Well, I suppose we can take that many in the room, but we always thought that we couldn't. Okay, that's going to make life interesting from the point of view of my session. Hmm, all right.
Yes. So we'll discuss that later, so shall we?
It'll be fine, honestly. Wow, okay. So that's, I mean, that's beginning of June. So what's that, 3 weeks away now? Yeah, 3 weeks away for that one. But we've got a couple of locals, haven't we, coming up before then?
Well, a couple of locals, yeah. So we've got Edinburgh and the East Midlands on the 29th of May. And then coming into June, then we've got Cambridge on the 15th of June. Perth on the 19th of June and Galway on the 26th of June.
Excellent.
Bookings in for those.
Good.
Go to trainer-talk.co.uk/local.
Absolutely. Yes. That link is definitely working. Oh, we had some fun with links over the weekend on the Trainer Talk site, but all sorted now. Excellent. Okay, so on to the final item of the podcast, which is the online course creation top tip. This week we are talking about number 34, which is about appearing on camera. And isn't it interesting how there were so many people prior to COVID who were, oh, I couldn't go on camera, can't go on camera, can't go on camera. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, virtual training. Yes, I can do that now. And then, yeah.
know.
So being on camera is no longer quite such a scary prospect for a lot of people, which is only a good thing. I think that's fantastic. There is still a difference, though, between being on camera for a virtual live training and being on camera when you are pre-recording something. Especially on a virtual live training where it's a meeting rather than a webinar, and we're obviously Zoom talking here, but where you can see other people on their cameras, I think that there is a certain amount of comfort for people being able to see other human faces. Whereas when you're doing a pre-record, generally speaking, you don't have any other human faces to look at, so you're looking directly into the camera, which is something that makes, or certainly did make, a lot of people quite uncomfortable. However, I am here to argue the case that it is a good thing to be on camera for at least part of your online course. And I've actually not changed my mind. I've adjusted the way I talk about this when I'm talking to people about online courses. From the point of view of, I used to say you need to be on camera at least for part of your lesson. But actually, I think there are circumstances where you being on screen can detract from what you're training. So it isn't necessary for you to be on camera all the time. However, I think in order to take advantage of building up that connection with your learner, with that rapport that we find as trainers very natural and easy to do when we're in a classroom situation, when you're doing a pre-record, you don't have the opportunity to pick up off the vibes of other people and adjusting your enthusiasm and your tempo to suit where you need the room to get to. So I think being on camera is something that really helps you to present a face to the voice for people, and they can start developing that bond with you and start developing that picture of you, so that even when you're not on camera on their screen, you know, they're hearing your voice and they can imagine you saying the things that you're saying, and it does work to develop that connection, that rapport. So I would say that think about it from the point of view of what you are trying to do with the video that you're recording. And the three words that I use are you inspiring people? Are you informing them, or are you inciting them? So inspiring people is when you need sort of your most energy and you're trying to get them really excited about what's about to take place. And usually that would be somewhere towards the beginning of your course. Informing is clearly the phase where you are going through the process of actually imparting the knowledge that you have to give them through the online course. And then inciting is where you want them to actually do something. Now that could be during the course where you're asking them to take a moment of self-reflection or to complete a task or something like that. That would be an example of inciting. Or it could be at the end of the course where you're asking them to write a testimonial for you or to get in touch with you to talk about other opportunities for you to help them get to where they need to get to. That would be an example of inciting, otherwise known as a call to action. So have a think about when it would be most useful for you to be on camera, and it's usually inspiring and inciting, not always for informing. So kind of use that as a bit of a rule of thumb, and you can't go too far wrong. But I do think that there is no place for an online course where you're not on camera at all. And I think if the present situation has proven anything to us, it's that, again, those fears of being on camera are all in our head, because funnily enough, when we need to, we can. So yeah, there we go. Number 34, appearing on camera.
Brilliant. So on that note, I think we are done for today.
We certainly are. Thank you for your time and patience, listeners, as always. And do get in touch with us if you've got any thoughts about, any manufactured fear that you've come across, or things that you've done to help change your mindset to stop being fearful of moving your business forward. We would love to hear from you. So Sharon's email address is sharon@thetrainerstrainingcompany.co.uk, or you can get in touch with me, which is gt@getthatcourseonline.com. You can please do put something on Train to Talk the Podcast group page, not group page, it is a group that you need to join, and put something in there so that we can all share the benefit of your wisdom as far as that's concerned. But other than that, I think it's just time to say goodbye, is it not?
Yeah, we're done for this week, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
Take care. Bye.